You are listening to an exclusive podcast from Pituitary World News.
Good morning. This is Dr. Lewis Blevins of Pituitary World News, podcasting from the coast of California on this foggy Friday morning, June 26, 2015. Several months ago, Pituitary World News published a survey on diabetes insipidus, where those who follow our pages on Facebook and our website contributed their experiences. In that survey, we had asked, what do you want others to know about diabetes insipidus based on your experiences with this disorder and its particular treatments? I've finally been able to take the time to collate those responses and want to share those with you today. Many of you basically said the same thing, which was really no surprise because of human experiences being very similar. And I tried to group these responses into three separate classifications, and I'll go over some of those. I'd like to start, however, by reading a few of these responses just to set the tone for this podcast. One respondent wrote, "As with all illnesses, there is a struggle to stay healthy. The thing with diabetes insipidus is that the struggle is 24 hours a day. It teaches one to look at things from a positive angle. There are issues and inconveniences, but it is more than manageable." Another wrote, "Be very careful not to drink too much while on vasopressin. Have your sodium levels checked regularly and look after yourself. Accept that it will take a long time to get the correct dosage, up to a year, but when you do, it makes the world of difference. Carry water with you. Be careful not to take extra medication here and there, as it is very powerful and can lead to serious health problems. The symptoms and feelings of being dehydrated are very similar to overhydration. Keep a mental, or written to begin with, note of how much you are drinking. Find a group online, as it makes a world of difference hearing others with the same condition." And another wrote, "I feel that breakthrough is a must. Patients need to know that taking a higher doses of DDAVP does not result in longer action of the medication. It is necessary to monitor each dose to determine how long the medication is effective. If it is lasting longer than 12 hours frequently, then the dose should be lowered. It is imperative that patients are educated the risks of hyponatremia and that it can cause brain edema resulting in seizures, coma, and death. Most patients don't read the information that comes with the medication, meaning the doctors should be educating their patients." Now, those are just about three of over 200 bits of recommendations that we received. And as I mentioned, plenty of them were along the same lines, and I did collate those into several different categories, and I want to go over those at this time. Several of you commented regarding the relationship with your healthcare provider and the medical establishments, and those responses can be summated to say that if you have surgery, have your endocrinologist involved in managing your diabetes insipidus and your serum sodium levels. This probably requires, in some cases, admission to the hospital the night before surgery and education by yourselves, the patients, or your family members to the healthcare providers how to take care of your particular situation. Some respondents indicated that you must speak for yourself and ensure that your physicians understand diabetes insipidus and the importance of medication, the dangers of overhydration with IV fluids, for example. Several indicated that they were troubled by the lack of understanding about diabetes insipidus and that felt that when you say you have diabetes insipidus, many times people think that you actually have diabetes mellitus and they check your blood sugars and wonder about your insulin doses, etc. And clearly this is a situation where there's problems because there could be over-treatment or intentional misadministration of insulin if it weren't necessary if you had a high blood sugar during a hospitalization, as many people do. One of you even said, "Don't ever tell a medical person you have diabetes insipidus. Talk about it being talk about yourself being DDAVP dependent, and even put that on your medic alert bracelet." One respondent said, never stay in the hospital without someone there who understands the problem of diabetes insipidus. Another wrote about self-empowerment, if you will. Know the facts about your illness, because most physicians and healthcare providers do not understand this disease process. So I think that's perfect advice with regards to any illness, but especially when you have a disorder that can go from well-controlled to life-threatening in just a matter of a day. And finally, one individual said, don't be afraid to contact your doctor. And I think that's true. This is one of those conditions where the physician on call and your physician during the office hours during the daytime should be hopefully willing and ready to intervene at the drop of a hat to ensure that your health is protected. If you are in a situation where you are not comfortable with self-management. Now, the second category of responses I put into that of comments related to emergencies and emergency management. And far and away, most of you wrote that the patient with diabetes insipidus should always wear a medical ID alert bracelet. And I agree with that recommendation. Some of you said that it's important to have both the nasal spray and the oral tablets to take care of emergencies, and that makes perfect sense. So when I have patients who use the nasal spray, if they're going to travel or if they have a cold or an upper respiratory illness, the nasal spray might not work, so they need to have the tablets to take care of their problems. Some people lose their spray bottle and they can get the tablets out of a glove box of their car, for example, and have treatment available right away. One of you recommended carrying a letter from a trusted physician advising a hospital how to dose DDAVP or IV fluids, and another said that it's important to get help fast. You could get dehydrated or overly hydrated very easily, and I would add very quickly, and that you should not delay medical intervention and think that it'll be better tomorrow, because tomorrow might never come if you're severely hyponatremic, for example. One of you wrote that it's important to tell the medical staff at the hospital, especially in an emergency, that DDAVP is administered as needed rather than as set times, and had found that that will prevent the hospital from giving it before you need it or withholding it when you need it based on timing. And you have to keep in mind that in the hospital, a medication taken twice daily, the hospital has their set time, so they may give that to you at 4 in the morning and 4 in the afternoon, or 8 in the morning and 8 in the evening. And diabetes insipidus doesn't work that way. You need to take the medication when you need it rather than according to the hospital schedule of when they send nurses around with the medicine cart. And this particularly applies in an emergency setting because you might have breakthrough in between those times, or you might become volume overloaded and need to have a dose held rather than administered every 8 or 12 hours or whatever the schedule is for your particular use of DDAVP. So thank you all for your interest and your attention. Once again, this is Dr. Lewis Blevins of Pituitary World News, and I wish you all a very good day.